Greetings, Liddell. This is Bob Rouse, your host of the Grace Radio series Voices. This adventure and programming for Grace Radio focuses on the voices of our neighbors here in Slidell about matters of community interest. We have a very special guest today, a lady who's an author, a retired school teacher, and some other credentials that we'll talk about in a few minutes. Mrs. Liz Hilby, a resident right up the road in Pearl River, who's come to spend some time with us this morning and talk about, you know what we're going to talk about? We're going to talk about Jesus.
Amen.
So welcome, Liz. Glad you're here.
Thank you. Hi, I'm glad to be here.
In addition to being a retired school teacher, you're an author.
Yes, I am.
You're the mother of two, grandmother of two.
Correct.
Tell me about those grandbabies.
Oh, that's my heart.
How old are they?
They are 16 and 5.
16 and 5. Wonderful.
Yes.
Well, that's exciting. We have grandchildren ourselves and thoroughly enjoy them. One of the things we wanted to talk about, one of the ladies at New Beginnings Church brought your work to our attention, and we wanted to hear a little bit about you and about Jesus and what he's doing in your life.
Okay. Well, I worked in the school system for 23 years as a paraeducator with special needs children, and the last few years there I had been working on a book, and that's when the Lord just started dealing with me. I thought I was just writing a little pocket purse book to share with people.
Okay.
And it ended up being almost 300-page.
Oh my goodness!
Teaching book, a teaching tool on worship and building a relationship with the Lord, and it follows the Lord's Prayer. So each chapter is one of the lines in the Lord's Prayer: "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Teaches you on reverence and worship to the Lord, and beginning your time in reverence and praise with the Lord. So anyway, in the process of it, I just felt like it was time to retire to work with the publisher who had accepted my book. And my son called me and said, "Mom, can we come for dinner tonight?" And I said, "Sure." And he said, "Will you fix fried chicken?" And I said, "Sure."
Okay.
So they came over. That day I told my husband, you know, I'm going to be retiring this year. And my son comes over and says, "We're going to have a baby." And it's like, yes, I'm retiring. I get to stay home and take care of my grandbaby. So, I mean, God just...
Awesome.
The timing of it was just so perfect for me to be able to do God's work and writing his words and being able to be home and bless, you know, my son and daughter-in-law by taking care of her and certainly, you know, blessing me, having my little grandbaby
Amen.
With me.
So it's this fire for Jesus deep down in your heart that speaks to the teacher in you.
Yes.
To continue to inform and educate others about what's going on in life.
Yes. It's my desire to build Christians and build believers in their faith, because there's so many Christians that just walk around without hope, and Jesus is our hope.
Amen.
You know, we need to be expressing that hope first in our own lives so that other people can see it to draw them to Christ. If a Christian is hopeless, then they have nothing to offer anyone else. So,
well, it sounds like you're more than a two-hour on Sunday Christian.
Yes, sir.
24/7. Well, that's great.
Yes.
Tell me about your church affiliation.
I go to New Jerusalem Praise and Worship Center here in Slidell. Been there for...
Great people out there.
Yes, yes. Love Pastor Jerry.
Mm-hmm.
Started under Sister Susie's, you know, mamaship. She was my mom and my Lord. And the Lord and I still miss Sister Susie, but she still speaks to me because of just the wisdom that she gave me. She's still,
wow.
You know, it's instilled in me. So her legacy lives on through so many people.
So you've sat under good teaching for a long time. You've been a faithful member of a church.
Yes.
And then God calls you to put these words and these teachings on paper for others to enjoy and to build them up as well.
Yes.
You're following the Lord's Prayer as the outline, I guess we'll say, and that was kind of the rabbinical teaching, wasn't it? That when they put some of these prayers down, they really were the lead sentence, and everybody knew the rest of the paragraph. So you're kind of following a tradition, aren't you?
Yes, I am. And I did not know that's what I was doing. I wrote an outline for the book, and then when I was writing the first chapter, I thought the book was going to be called Pray the Prayers That David Prayed. But then as I wrote it, it became way more than what David prayed. And the first three chapters, I compared David's prayers to how Jesus taught the disciples to pray. And then I was like, let me look at my outline. And my outline went row for row, the seven chapters in line with the 7 points that Jesus taught in the Lord's Prayer.
So as inspired by the Holy Spirit this time, though.
Yes. So I knew. I was like, Lord, this is your book. Because I did not do that. You know, Holy Spirit did it.
God, well, tell us a little bit about the book. What's the focus? What's the outcome of it? Is it one of those teachings that thou shalt not do this and thou shalt not do that? Or is it one of those teachings? Or what is it? You tell me.
When people tell me they feel like they're sitting across the table from me having a conversation, okay, then they got exactly the impression that I wanted from the book. I didn't want it to be a I'm telling you what to do book, and I didn't want it to be something that brought condemnation. I just wanted it to gently and lovingly inspire other people to press closer into God. And that's what the true heart of the book is to draw a relationship with the Lord, to get away from religion and religion rhetoric and just have a relationship with God. And if you have a relationship with God, then all the other things are going to fall into place.
Amen.
So
Amen.
That's what it's about.
So more than or as much as an instruction, it's just a love letter to Jesus telling people how they can be better without telling them what they're doing wrong.
Yes. It tells them what I did wrong and how the Lord gently, you know, brought me into right. I've got, you know, I'm very open in it. And so I've got my mistakes in it as well and how the Lord brought me through difficult situations. And I've got, you know, healing testimonies galore because God's just, I've got so many medical healed testimonies and I've got some of them shared in the book as well.
Well, great. So you wrote the book. How long ago did you do this?
That one's 4 years old.
4 years old.
And I have a new one that came out in October, Are You a Target? Fight the Good Fight God's Way, which is spiritual warfare.
Okay.
So when I'm revising the first book because the company went under, so it's out of print. Once my copies and bookstores' copies sell, it's no longer going to be available. So I'm revising it to republish it. And the Lead Us Not Into Temptation, Deliver Us From Evil chapters, when I revised them, became so big. It's like, Lord, this cannot be 2 chapters. You need to show me how to fix this. Went to bed, woke up during the middle of the night, and just heard, like, it was my husband laying in bed speaking to me, but it was the Holy Spirit in my spirit say, it's its own book. So I got up and went to Pam's Glorified Gifts on Wednesday morning for a devotion she does with the community and was sharing with her about it. And she was all excited about it. She said, oh, I think that's great. I was like, yeah, but God's got to give me a cover and a title. Left her and drove down the road and the title, Are You a Target? And I was like, I saw literally this cover like float. You know, I could see it visually in front of me. And it was an artwork that I had bought a year prior because I liked it to use one day and I didn't know what for. And I just started laughing. I said, God, you knew I was going to write this book when I bought that cover, you know, work over a year ago. So God had it all orchestrated in place.
Well, many times we marvel at the things that God puts in our hearts to do, and we think we know what we're doing.
Right.
We think, I know why I did this. And then you find out God had a much better and bigger purpose than anything we could have thought of.
He sure did. And taking those 2 chapters out, because that's the only 2 chapters in the book that doesn't focus on love. They focus on warfare. So I'm taking these 2 chapters out of the original book, and there is going to be its own book. And when I redo it, I'm going to do, you know, Lead Us Not Into Temptation, Deliver Us From Evil, in reference to God's love instead of our warfare, instead of it being defensive prayer. It's going to be our offensive stance. So then that book's going to be totally love. And I was like, God, you are so smart.
I love it. Well, I love your outreach into the community. I love your wanting to share. But obviously this doesn't come from an intellectual thing. You didn't read a book one day. You did read a book, the Holy Bible.
Yes.
But you didn't read a book and come up with these are some interesting things I think I'll teach. Obviously, you've had an experience in a walk with the Lord. Mm-hmm. Could you share a little bit about that?
Sure. I mean, God's been there since I was a little girl. My parents divorced when I was young, and I felt that you know, that separation and that break and that unworthiness.
Yes. It's a hard thing to deal with, isn't
it? It's my youngest memory I remember is when Mama left the house with Daddy. I don't remember anything before that. And I heard God loved me. My cousins brought us to church, a Baptist church, and they talked about God's love and that He never leaves you, never forsakes you. And I'm telling you, He put that so deep inside of me that night that that was what I clung through. And so from a young child, I knew God would never leave me. So I just grabbed a hold of Him, and we've been running together ever since.
Well, who is He to you?
Who is God to me? He's my Savior. He's my friend. He's everything. He's my rock, and he's the one that I have to hold on to, because people fail us, but God won't fail us.
Amen.
Even if it looks like God's failed us because He hasn't answered the way we thought He should have answered, He sees way past what we can see, and He knows what's best for us. And He's not going to give us a snake. He's going to give us the best.
That's right.
And sometimes that door may close and it feels like God didn't hear you and God's not listening, but God knows. He knows way better than us, and He's going to bring us to the right place.
You'd mentioned healings
and
divine intervention in your life. Could you share a little bit about maybe something there that that it's important to you that kind of sticks out in your mind this morning? We pray that God will bring to our heart today what we needed to hear. And I believe that when people listen to this program, they listen because God has something to say to them.
Mm-hmm.
So let's speak through a specific intervention in your life that maybe somebody could relate to.
Okay. Well, in the process of writing, they found a mass on my kidney. I had gone to the doctor. Actually, I was going for an earache, and they just ran some general tests and because I had started having a stomach issue the day before. And I expected it to be gallbladder. But the Lord told me, they ordered an ultrasound the next day. And the Lord told me driving to the place that they were going to find something, but not to be worried that He was with me. So I just figured gallbladder. I got home, and about 2 hours later, the phone rang, and it was the doctor. He said I had a significant size mass hanging off the bottom of my kidney.
Oh, my goodness.
And that I needed to be very careful. They didn't know what it was and didn't want it to rupture and spread through my body. So testimony after testimony after testimony.
So you must have been pretty shocked when you got the phone call.
I was shocked. And I had my dad had palpocystic kidney disease. So when he's talking about dialysis and talking about all these things, I knew exactly what he was talking about,
right,
from my dad. So I was just, my mind was going, but I was praying as I'm listening to him on my, walking in the backyard because I was on my cell phone, you know, so I have to go out there. Can you hear me now? So I'm in my backyard listening to him on my cell phone, and I wasn't saying anything. I was shocked. But I just was praying as I was listening to him. And he said, "Miss Hilby, did you hear what I said?" And I said, "Yes, sir." And he said, "You have a significant size mass and it needs to come off." He said, "It's not when does it have to." He said, "It has to, and it has to come off rather quickly." And my response to him through the Holy Spirit, I believe, is what carried me through that whole ordeal.
Okay.
When I said, "I heard exactly what you said, Doc. I knew something was there. The Lord told me something was there, and you've given me the name to put under the name of Jesus."
Mm.
And that was how I walked through that entire ordeal. So from the time that he told me, and I was supposed to go for my first office visit, which was, I don't remember how long before the doctor could see me in, and I called back my general doctor, and they said, "No, that's not going to work." I had the surgery and spent 11 days in the hospital before I would have made that initial appointment once God took control of that.
Wow.
It was not cancer. The doctor repeatedly said, "I can't believe it's not cancer," to which I said, "God let you remove the tumor and He took care of the cancer."
That's right.
And I totally believe that. So that was every year I had to go and get rechecked to make sure, because what it was can grow back. And talked to people that have had multiple surgeries from this type of tumor growing back. Mine has never grown back. As a matter of fact, the fourth year doing it, I was like, "Lord, you're going to they kept telling me it's the same, it's just smaller than the other one. I was like, Lord, next year they're going to tell me it's grown back. And I just started praying that. Well, the next time I went in, they said that you can't tell the difference between which kidney. So then in 2000, I think it was 16, I did end up having the gallbladder issue. And when they were doing the ultrasound to look at my gallbladder, they put on the report, patient had partial kidney appendectomy, but there's no such evidence now.
All right.
God healed my kidney.
Praise God.
And that's in the second book. The beginning of it's in the first book, and then the rest of the story, I have an audio target because I stood my ground on the Word of God.
You know, one of the interesting things, just enjoying listening to you talk, is that, you know, oftentimes an event happens in our life, and we call our prayer chain and say, y'all need to pray with me. Something's happening here.
Mm-hmm.
But with your walk with the Lord, before the event shows up, you and God got it. Before the doctor says there's a mass on your kidney, before the nurse says let's make an appointment, before any of that happens, before you read on the internet that this could possibly be cancerous, before you read any of that, you and God had already got it worked out.
Yes.
It just goes to show that being more than a 2-hour on Sunday Christian, to be a 24/7 walking with Him, has more than a significant value in our lives.
Yes, yes. And that's what I want to, that's what I want other people to get a hold of. That's what I want, you know, Christian friends and the new believers to get a hold of, the fact that God loves you so much that He's going to get you through whatever, as long as you trust in Him, you keep your words in Him, you speak the Word. You mentioned go to the internet. I went to the internet, and the Holy Spirit immediately shut that down.
Oh, really?
And said, that is not where you go to look for your answers. You go to the Word.
Oh, my goodness.
So I shut off the internet, didn't look up anything to do with. I started to, but,
sure,
but I turned
sure.
that off, and I got out my Bible, and I wrote all kind of healing scriptures out. And every doctor appointment, as my husband drove me, I read the healing scriptures on the way to the appointments, in the appointments, waiting, and I just kept myself. I kept my thought life in subjection to what
right.
God says about me, that by His stripes I am healed.
Amen.
And that's what I held on to. I had to go through a surgery.
Sure.
You know, and I had people tell me, you know, God can heal you, you don't need that surgery. And I do believe that, but I didn't believe that in this case. I felt like from the time He said you're going to need surgery, I was going to have surgery, but God was going to be with me.
Amen.
But look what God did 5 years later. Now everybody that reads that report says, wow, she had a kidney removed and it's grown back. So look what God can get now.
Amen.
Because I did have surgery.
God can use doctors.
Yes.
And He can use medicine. He can use surgery. The trick of the whole thing is to do it the way God wants it done.
Yes.
God
yes.
wants it done. He placed doctors in our lives to help us when we need help. And sometimes He does things without them, and sometimes He uses them. And your case, He used them all to the end that we would have a great testimony.
And that's what I prayed the whole time, too. When I for the surgery, I was like, Lord, if I'm going to have this surgery, You're going to get glory from it.
Amen.
You know, so I kept praying, some kind of way You're going to turn this around. You're going to get glory even though I'm having surgery. And that's what He did.
You know, as I listening to you talk, you run into people who want to tell everybody else how to live their life without necessarily doing it themselves. But what's happening here is that you have lived your life, and God's given you a chance through your first book, which has already been published, and the second book that you're working on now, plus the speaking and the lecturing that you do and talking with other people, to be able to take what God's done and use it as a means of expressing to others hope, life, love, encouragement.
Yes.
It's just a beautiful story. It's just a beautiful
Thank
story.
You. I know God's so good.
Yes, He is. Yes, He is. Your books are interesting. Can you tell us how we could find copies of these wonderful books?
Locally, since this is Slidell, Pam's Glorified Gifts carries them on West Hall, and Faith Christian Bookstore carries them next to Copeland's, and the Antiques and Art on First Street carries them. So that's three local locations, and it's also Well, Audience of One can only be bought through those locations or myself.
Because we're ending the first publication, getting ready for
yes.
a new publication.
Yes, yes, it's right. out of print. But Are You a Target? And Are You a Target workbook that's getting ready to go with it, so it'll be used for a Bible study, can be found at Pam's Glorified Gifts or myself or Antiques and Art Store.
Do you have a website?
I do. It's www.princesswriterllc.com. And you smile and you know why I'm a princess.
Amen. Amen.
The king. I'm writing the king's words. So.
Yes, I love it. I love it. Is there other ways that people get a hold of you? Is there a way on the website people can contact you?
There is a contact me on the web's page, and I have a Facebook page that Liz Hilby, Liz Godet Hilby, or Audience of One at the Mercy Seat, which is the first book title. I do daily devotions on that page.
On Facebook?
On Facebook, yes.
Wonderful.
Yes, I do Facebook daily devotions, and that's a public page. So anybody can view it and go and, you know, get daily devotions. And I just had a book come out April 1st, 31 Days at the Cross, which is still a free download if you have Kindle Unlimited.
Yeah.
So it's a free download, and it's 31 days of concentrating about it's devotion, daily devotions, what the Lord accomplished through the cross for us, beyond our salvation. Salvation is our first thing, and it's our most important thing. But he did more than that. He brought healing. He brought provision. He brought peace of mind, peace of spirit. You know what I mean? So it's concentrating on all that Jesus bought for us at the cross through his blood. So they can go to Amazon or Kindle Direct and get that as a free download.
Awesome, awesome. Well, it's just an honor to meet you today, and just a real pleasure to talk with you. Obviously, God is working in your life for your betterment, but also for the betterment of our community. And I just want to thank you for what you're doing. It's a good work. It's
thank
a godly
you.
Work. Thanks to your pastor for
yes.
His leadership and guidance
and
in your life.
And Denise Cochran. I love his new wife, too. Denise, you know, she's
well, they're
wonderful.
Precious people. We've,
yes.
we've known him for quite a few years, so
yes.
we're very grateful for his work in the community and really grateful for God's work in your life and the pleasure of meeting you today.
Oh, thank you.
Well, thank you for coming and spending time with us. We do appreciate it.
Thank you.
Hopefully you'll come back and talk to us again.
I sure will.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And thank you, Slidell, for tuning in to Voices here on Grace Radio. We want to hear from you. You can call us at 985-250-1037. Leave a comment, send us a text. And if you'd like to be in touch with Liz Hilby, give me a call. We'll help you make that happen. Encourage you to like us on Facebook, Grace Radio Slidell. Also, check out on our website, www.graceradioslidell.net. There you can make tax-deductible donations to support the station. We need your help. Again, give us a call, 985-250-1037. Well, that's it for now. Join us again daily for Voices of Slidell at 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. and get the flow of God's grace here in Slidell.